Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
A couple days ago, a Wall Street Journal piece from Savati Kirsten Narula focused on millennials and their apparent greater degree of openness about their income and financial condition than previous generations. Cited in the piece, a 2019 survey by creditcards.com that found 61% of millennials were comfortable discussing credit card debt with their friends, compared with just 43% of baby boomers. And in March, Swedish fintech company Klarna said its recent global survey found 50% of millennials believe it's important to talk openly about finances. That compares with just 41% for older generations. I'd like to hear from you to what extent you see a generational difference in talking about finances, and also to hear your thoughts about why you think that might be the case, if that's what you see. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. It's just me and you talking about this, so I'd really like to have your participation so we can have a broad-based conversation about it. Michael, in the Silver Lake District, good to have you with us. Michael, I understand you're a millennial, so that's great. So what do you see in your generation compared to others?
I mean, for the most part, with people that I've worked with and myself, I've never had an issue sharing my income. I mean, I have some friends that are, you know, still have that kind of old stigma, but for the most part, it's never been an issue, and it's also helpful in terms of helping each other advance our careers and pay scales.
And is that different from what you see in your parents' generation?
Definitely. They're a lot more I guess, guarded about their income or finances. And I can see the benefit to that, but in terms of, like, I guess,
I think we just lost Michael on his mobile phone. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we got you again. Go right ahead. Please finish your thought.
Maybe it speaks to the, like, lack of assets distributed amongst my generation, so there's less to guard. But, I see a much more openness in sharing, you know.
Yeah. Michael, I appreciate it so much. 866-893-KPECC. So it's perfect as a millennial. He starts us off, looking at these surveys and finding it's true, at least for him and for his friends. 866-893-KPECC. And I know that there are, beyond generational differences, there are significant cultural ones and between families as well. I come from a family where finances were very openly talked about. I knew what my parents made. I knew what their, current financial status was. But typically for my friends, that was not always the case. They often didn't have any sense of what their parents' finances were, how much money their parents made, things like that. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Noel in Riverside, good to have you with us. You're a millennial also, I understand. That's great. So how do you see it in your generation?
Yes, well, I think first in a personal context, talking about finances openly really just helps open understanding in a relationship. I do so with my partner, and another slightly less related, we've also been very open about our intentions about what we want our marriage to look like in the future, although we're not yet engaged, we're planning on it. And I think having this kind of open communication is really important for trust. I think in a professional context, not talking about compensation also leaves the door open for people to be mistreated by being undercompensated. And I think in order to kind of address that issue, being open about how people are being compensated really just benefits workers and makes sure that people who originally wouldn't be in a position of power, as a subordinate employee, can work together to understand their common interests and, you know, advocate for what they deserve, which is, you know, at the bare minimum, a living wage, but hopefully fair compensation that's on the same level as their peers.
Noel, I may be wrong, but I think, you know, one of the reasons why in earlier generations employees, you know, often didn't talk about how much they made is, you know, for fear that it would make them appear as though, you know, they didn't know how to negotiate for themselves or somehow, you know, they weren't able to cut as good a deal as someone else and that it there might be some embarrassment associated with that. What you're describing among, you know, many millennials is not personalizing that, seeing that as an issue of the employer, not the employee. And it is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I would describe that as an element of class consciousness and solidarity, and I use that language very intentionally.
All right. Noel, I appreciate it. He calls from Riverside. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Terrific callers to start us off. Let's talk with Deborah in Studio City. You're on AirTalk. Deborah, you're a tail-end boomer. That's what I am, too, bringing up the rear. Deborah, what's your experience of this?
I feel like the generation just before us, which is still boomer, they have sort of a moral compass about debt. You know, they feel like if you're in debt, it's sort of a, you know, maybe a moral failing. So they don't want to talk about being in debt. Whereas I think the younger generation just assumes you're going to be in debt. You know, they're so much out there. And I think that may be part of why they're not so hung up about it, because they come into it knowing, oh, we are going to have credit card debt, and they want to help each other solve it.
That's a great observation. Thank you. I appreciate it. Deborah in Studio City, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With us in Southgate, Alexander, you're on AirTalk. Are you a millennial, Alexander, and what have you observed?
Yeah, I am a millennial. What I've observed is like this need for millennials to share that kind of information, because we all acknowledge that we inherited a lot of our financial situation because of the secretiveness of the generation before us. Their desire to, you know, play it close to the chest really became an obstacle for millennials to really learn about just financial literacy. So we've had to learn from each other's mistakes and start Facebook groups and hashtags like, I just learned this, or check this out, or I was this years old when I found this out. Because there wasn't space to have those conversations safely with the generation before us.
Alexander, what a terrific observation. So, yeah, so where are you going to turn for that information, as you're saying, from friends, your peer group? Absolutely. And Alexander, do you feel as though that sort of peer education has successfully helped fill that void from parents who were so buttoned up about finances that they didn't give that information to their kids?
I mean, that's difficult to measure. I would say that it's the best option we have. Peer-to-peer learning is slower but deeper. It would have been better to have, you know, been able to learn from our parents' experiences. But, you know, the next best thing is learning from your friends, learning from the wisdom among your peers.
Alexander, appreciate it so much. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And, you know, it's true that talking with other people about finances, you just get so much more information and a wider sense of different options in doing that. We're at 866-893-KPECC. We'll continue talking about generational differences in openness about income and general finances back in 1 minute on AirTalk. We're talking about generational differences on income and personal finances. Millennials, according to some recent surveys, considerably more open with their friends and family members and colleagues about how much they're making and what kind of debt load they're carrying and the like. And fascinating to see that generational difference. Just as an aside, I still consult with both of my parents on major financial decisions, and they consult with me. It's terrific because to have that kind of resource, people that you trust and give high value to what they say. It's terrific to have that. 866-893-KPECC. Mike, in Culver City, you're a millennial as well. Terrific calls we've started with. What's your observation on this?
Thanks, Larry. And it's interesting. So my background is I just have an MBA, and I have a pretty interest, like, hobby in financial advising and stuff. So I've done a couple of it. And with all of my friends, I feel like I haven't had one person who has been kind of reluctant to kind of offer information. And I think your two other the listeners hit on it, Deborah and Alexandra, with like it being an educational thing and then also a little bit of an embarrassment, because I just want to give one quick one. My mom, who carried a lot of debt, but she was like a single parent with three kids, she will never talk to me about it and won't let me help her. And I think that's part of the embarrassment. And then another issue, you said that you constantly talk with your parents and you guys go back and forth. It's not the same here. Like, I never got really any kind of teaching from my parents, and a lot of my friends as well haven't got anything either.
Yeah, and I hear that a lot. Even among late boomers like myself, that is just that lack of information. And I think you hit on something really key, Mike, that in your mom's sense, you know, from your standpoint, here she was working so hard to try and support the family and do this work. But for her, because of the challenges financially, this feeling of self-criticism or shame. And it sounds like, Mike, you haven't been able to sort of get through that with her because of the emotional weight that carries for her?
You know, it's taken time, to be honest. It's about a decade now. And now I have been, and we've been able to be way more open, but it took a lot of time. And it's just so interesting because I really think she has like a reason to carry this amount of debt, just given her life. Whereas some of my friends, they really don't have a great reason for why they have so much credit card debt. So it's a huge disconnect. That's interesting.
It is. And the self-judgment that often, you know, it comes with it. Mike, I appreciate it very much. 866-893-KPECC. Ayla, in Los Feliz, nice to have you with us. You're an older millennial, I understand. So how do you see this financial openness playing out generationally?
Yeah, my opinion is the same as some other people have voiced. I agree with the survey that I feel like my parents never wanted to talk about how much things cost growing up. And they would just be like, that's too expensive, or like, maybe we can make that work. And that was kind of like the extent of their discussions about finances. But I think a lot of us that were in the older millennial generation who were in like college, and especially college and maybe high school when the financial crisis happened in 2008, I think we were old enough to kind of understand what was going on and see what our parents were going through. I mean, my parents are one of the many couples that went through bankruptcy and, you know, eventually lost their home due to everything.
Yeah.
And we just don't want that same situation to happen to us. So I think that people are just like, yeah, we all know that we have a ton of student loan debt. We all know that debt is a part of life. And I feel like people are just more open to getting on Facebook and being like, hey, I don't know what to do. And I think also weirdly podcasts always having ads about getting out of debt. Maybe.
Yeah, because they're everywhere. Ayla, I appreciate it so much. You're saying a lot with this. Couple points that really stand out to me, the one of which is that, you know, everybody's in the same condition in the generation. As you're talking about student debt and, you know, all the other things going on, the recession and everything. And then the second point about your parents going through a financially traumatic period. And I think of older Americans whose parents went through the Great Depression, for example, and the enormous impact that had for years later because of the financial trauma that imposed on people who lived through it. Ayla, I appreciate a terrific call. Jeremy in Palms, thanks for joining us. Real briefly, what do you see in this generational perspective?
Yeah, hi, Larry. I think I have some comments that kind of echo what other people have said, too. But I think basically it's out of necessity. My parents, my dad came up from a poor family. My mom grew up in what I'd call like a middle class family. But it just they didn't really like talking about money growing up. They still don't really. They've gotten a little bit more comfortable as I've gotten older. But for me and my fiance and our friend group, you know, it's just very common to talk about because we have this feeling like, you know, you have to be on your game from the very start in our generation if you're going to find, you know, financial comfort and success in your life. And so, you know, it kind of feels like you need to be willing to talk about that with people to try and get tips and, you know, also just to empathize and know that other people are thinking about the same things, dealing with the same things. You know, that we are.
Yeah, there's a therapeutic benefit in that. Absolutely. Jeremy, absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Adriana tweets at AirTalk, I believe younger adults are more conscious about equality for women in the workplace. Part of the Me Too vibe is women knowing how much money men in the same job are receiving from the employer so they can assess if the employer is undercompensating them based on gender. I also think celebrities have helped promote this openness, with some white actors and actresses insisting their black co-stars get the same pay as they get. That's Adriana, tweeting at AirTalk. Carlotta tweets, as a female boomer, I say, don't discount the secrecy perpetuated by employers over decades, which creates the earning disparity between men and women. Samantha on Facebook writes, as millennials, we speak openly about how fed up we are, and that's where it flows from. We're realizing how much a lot of this secretiveness benefits the system and not individuals. We're also angry that we can earn six figures and still have to rent. We're not as concerned about keeping up with the Joneses because even the Joneses are renting. That's Samantha writing on Facebook. Gosh, great calls. Great postings as well. Thank you all so much for sharing your thoughts about this, about generational differences in openness, about income and general financial state. We have much more to come in the second hour of Air Talk, including the future of Pasadena's historic Central Library.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.